A professor in one of the seminaries in this country that advertises itself as Orthodox has just made a statement of the Scofield Bible, and he said that it was a Bible of errors. A Bible of errors. I am satisfied that the average man doesn't know the history of the Scofield Bible, and I have asked the privilege of taking this period to give the history as I understand it. I think it'll be that you can depend upon the word, because I received it directly from the lips of Dr. Scofield himself. And I perhaps am the only man living today who has the information, unless it might be Dr. Scofield's son who is still living. He may know the facts I'm going to give you. Dr. Scofield lived here in Dallas and was pastor here for a great many years. He wrote the incomparable correspondence course in the Bible while he was here, and out of that conceived the idea of a Bible to be printed with the helps on the very page where it's needed the most, and then went to work on the manuscript for that Bible. When he had about finished it, he went to Switzerland for 2 years to work over there, and took his secretary with him and his family. And there were very wonderful things that happened at that time of financial interest, care of it, care of him, and the expense finally of getting out the Bible was all so wonderfully cared for by the precious grace of God, giving evidence that the Bible was the will of God. Now, I hold that the Scofield Bible is one of God's most precious gifts to the church in the last days. And I want it to be a noise to the ends of the earth that the last thing in the world that we would ever say was that it was a book of errors, not from Dallas Seminary, ever. And I believe every member of the faculty would stand with me in this. Take a vote, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Once more, I don't think they heard you over the loudspeaker.
Amen.
When Doctor came back from Switzerland, he had the problem before him of the publisher, where he could have that Bible published. And friends suggested to him that he present the manuscript to the Oxford University Press in England. Now, you need to know something about what was back of that. He hesitated a great deal because he knew their conservative position. They had never published anything in the direction of a Bible excepting the King James Version and also the English Revised Version. And they would not go beyond that, and had turned down many of these modern ideas of Bibles. Well, Scofield came along and offered his manuscript to them. Now, the press is under the control of the deans or presidents of the different schools in the University of Oxford. At that time, there were 21 different deans and presidents in the university, and these men had to decide whether the Scofield Bible would be printed by the Oxford Press or not. Now, that is important for you to know, because the common criticism is that there's no scholarship back of the Scofield Bible. And these men representing at that time probably the very highest that we could conceive or know in United Scholarship, had the question put up to them of whether they would publish the Scofield Bible and at the same time break with the tradition of their conservative ways. At the time that the vote was taken, after these men had examined the manuscript carefully, you may be sure it was carefully examined because it was a very important question that came up to them. After they had examined it, they came together for a vote. Three of the men were out of the country and not available. And of those that came together, all the rest that were available were present. And when the vote was taken, it was unanimous excepting one man. And he was standing out on the basis of the custom at the tradition of that they should not publish anything else. But when he found that he stood alone and all the others were for publishing it, he withdrew his vote and made it unanimous, so that the deans and presidents of the Oxford University, after thorough examination, decided that they would break with all tradition and publish that Scofield Bible. And surely they've had no reason to be sorry so far as a commercial matter is concerned, for it has run into hundreds of thousands, you know. Hundreds of thousands have been published, and these have gone out throughout all the world. Now the devil is attacking it constantly and attempting to break down the testimony that is given to the scriptures and the truth of the scriptures in that Bible. Now this is the thing that I want you to know, that it was chosen under such calm, quiet decision on the part of the Oxford University to be published by them. Then came days of needing much finance, because it's not an easy thing financially to get out the plates and to produce an edition of the scriptures properly bound and all. And men came forward in answer to faith and provided funds. I could give names of men who were on that list of providing funds for that, but I shall not undertake it. They would not be known. They're all dead now. But they were faithful men who provided the funds, and through their faith and their generosity, we have evidence that it was God's person, very precious will, that the Bible should be published. And it came out. And, of course, there was a certain amount of immediate reaction against it from a certain element who were not taught in the scriptures enough to appreciate what the Bible represents. This is the Scofield Bible I'm talking about, men, and I want you to defend it. It is my privilege, as kind of a personal word from the doctor himself, committed to me to defend his work as if everywhere I possibly can. And so I have done, sought to carry on his testimony, and I want to extend it just as far as every student who ever comes to Dallas Seminary. Don't ever be a critic of a thing so wonderful as the Scofield Bible. I don't doubt but what you can find fault with something. Maybe there are one or two places where if I had made the definition, I would have changed it, but that doesn't amount to anything. I am not in the position to criticize Dr. Scofield. And when some of these critics that are rising up to find fault with it produce something that is as great a blessing to the church as Dr. Scofield's Bible, then I'll be glad to listen to them. But when their own testimony is a vacuum and empty, I'm not going to pay much attention to what they say. Oh, how many lives have been changed, and how many have been blessed in their study of the Scripture by just following through. I remember Dr. Scofield saying at one time, he said, if a person would come to know the meaning of a certain 20 words in the Bible, he said, they'd be well instructed in doctrine. Well, I just wondered at the time what the 20 words would be. But since then, I have come to feel that he was very wise, and that statement was well worth considering. And I, for one, would like to be on the committee that selected the 20 words. 20 words. Now, I don't think he'd made a very careful count, but I think that he did have in mind just this thing, that the understanding of the Scripture can be largely brought down to the understanding of very important words. And that is true. And he has given us incomparable definitions of more than 20 words that would be eligible for such a list as that. I was with him when he saw the first copy that came off the press. And he had received, as the author, an advance shipment of 12 volumes of this Bible. We were in a conference together in Florida, and they were shipped to him. And I was with him in his hotel room when he opened that shipment of 12 Bibles. And he immediately sat down and inscribed one of them and gave it to me, and I have it in my library at home and prized it. Then I remember how he stood there in the middle of the room in that hotel room and held that Bible as he always did, balanced on his hand like this. He stood there and looked at it and turned the leaves somewhat. Then he turned to me and said, Louis, I am detached from that. I don't know where it came from. It didn't come from me. Now you see, he's just conscious that God has done something. And he said, I am detached from that. I am detached from that. And he looked upon it as the work of someone else than himself. He was such a wonderful Christian. It may be my privilege sometime to take some chapel hour to speak on the personal relationship and my opinion of this man who I think is the greatest Christian that I ever knew, without any doubt. Marvelous Christian. So wonderfully balanced in all his thinking and in all his teaching. I think he was the incomparable teacher of the past generation. There is no other one to compare with him. Not another one. Now you have the facts before you with regard to the publishing of it and answering this foolish idea that there's no scholarship back of the Scofield Bible. Just because they think he never attended a seminary and never studied Greek and Hebrew and all that, you know. Well, he was very careful in everything that he said, and everything he put down, he had authority for it. You find on the title page here the co-editors that went with him into this work, and when they happened to be personal friends, every one of them of mine. Old Dr. Weston was for years president of Crozier Theological Seminary. James M. Gray, president of the Moody Bible Institute. Not nearly as well educated as Scofield. William J. Erdman, who was the father of Charles Erdman, who has been for many years the Bible teacher in Princeton. I had a personal friendship with William Erdman. And Arthur T. Pearson was one of my very closest friends in my younger days. Arthur T. Pearson and Moorhead of a senior theological seminary, Elmer Harris of Toronto, who is head of the Bible Institute in Toronto, Arnold C. Gabeline, who was almost a bosom friend of mine for 40 years. And there has been added here, much against my wishes, the name of William L. Pettengill, for Pettengill was never chosen by Schofield as an advisor and consultant, but somehow it has been arranged that Pettengill's name has been added here, though it never was on the first list at all. Now, I happen to know I could have been on the first list as well as Pettengill. Pettengill and I were contemporary, about the same age, and we were constantly with Schofield. We had one time a school in New York, and the correspondence part of it was in the hands of Dr. Schofield and Pettengill, and the oral teaching was within the hands of Dr. Schofield and myself. And in those days, I had been chosen by Dr. Schofield to be his associate teacher, traveling about together. He said, I always need another man with me, he said, and I don't want to pick up somebody at random, he said. I just want you to stay with me. Now, it came to this, that it took me out of evangelistic work and put me into the Bible teaching field. And very definitely, because the old man was getting feeble, and he had a way of making engagements and then having to break them at the last minute and sending me as a substitute speaker. And I had that experience constantly of trying to fit into the shoes of Dr. Schofield. Well, it had this effect that it opened the door for me as a Bible teacher to travel then. I'll not go farther. The thing most that I wanted to do was to defend the scholarship by telling you the facts concerning the publishing as it was done by the Oxford University and all that was lying back of that then. All that was lying back of that, I want you to know. Shall we unite in prayer? Our Father and our God, for this great man whom thou didst train and bring through, this great man, we give thanks, and for every word that he has spoken and every word he has written, we give thee thanks. Father, thou hast chosen him and been pleased to bless him. Continue, Lord, to use this Bible in the hands of multitudes of thy precious children to give them the light on the truth where they need it, that they may come to know thy word as it has been set forth in these notes. Thou knowest, Lord, how much the enemy would try to destroy this. And we just pray that there may be blessing still upon this book and upon the testimony of thy servant. And we give thee all the praise, and would pray that the truth that thou hast should find its full lodging in our hearts, that we should know it, and our minds be awakened to it, for Christ's sake. Amen.